have heard the witnesses, and you are about to hear my counsel, who will tell you the true story. You know the legend which has grown up. Dreyfus was condemned justly by 7 infallible officers, whom it is impossible even to suspect of a blunder without insulting the whole army. Dreyfus is a Jew, and a Jewish syndicate is formed, an international syndicate disposing of hundreds of millions, the object of which is to save the traitor at any price. Gentlemen, I would not insult you by supposing that you have yourselves been duped by this nursery tale. I know you. I know who you are. You are the heart and the reason of Paris, of my great Paris, where I was born, which I love with an infinite tenderness, which I have been studying and writing of now for 40 years. I see you at your homes at evening under the lamp. I hear you talk with your friends. I accompany you into your factories and shops. You're all workers, some tradesmen, others manufacturers, some exercising liberal professions. And your very legitimate anxiety is the deplorable state into which business has fallen. You have not gone the length of saying, like many, what matters it that an innocent man is at Devil's Island? Is the interest of a single man worth this disturbing a great country? But you say nevertheless that the agitation which we are raising, we who hunger for truth and justice, costs too dear. And if you condemn me, gentlemen, it is that thought which will be at the bottom of your verdict. You desire tranquility for your homes. You wish for the revival of business, and you may think that by punishing me you will stop a campaign which is injurious to the interests of France. Well, gentlemen, if that is your idea, you are entirely mistaken. Do me the honor of believing that I am not defending my liberty. Look at me. Have I the look of a hireling, of a liar, and a traitor? Why should I be playing a part? I have behind me neither political ambition nor sectarian passion. I am a free writer who has given his life to labor, who tomorrow will re-enter the ranks and resume his suspended task. So I do not defend myself. But what a blunder would be yours if you were convinced that by striking me you would re-establish order in our unfortunate country. Do you not understand now that what the nation is dying of is the obscurity in which there is such an obstinate determination to leave it? The blunders of those in authority are being heaped upon those of others. One lie necessitates another, so that the mass is becoming formidable. The Dreyfus case, oh, gentlemen, that has now become a very small affair. It is lost and far away in view of the terrifying questions to which it has given rise. There is no longer any Dreyfus case. The question now is whether France is still the France of the rights of man. The France that gave freedom to the world and that ought to give it justice. Dreyfus is innocent. I swear it. I stake my life on it, my honor. At this solemn moment, in the presence of this tribunal, which is the representative of human justice, before you, gentlemen, who are the very incarnation of the country, before the whole of France, before the whole world, I swear that Dreyfus is innocent! By my 40 years of work, by the authority that this toil may have given me, I swear that Dreyfus is innocent. By the name I have made for myself, by my works which have helped for the expansion of French literature, I swear that Dreyfus is innocent. May all that melt away. May my works perish if Dreyfus be not innocent. He is innocent. All seems against me. The two chambers, the civil authority, the most widely circulated journals, the public opinion which they have poisoned. And I have for me only the ideal, an ideal of truth and justice. But I'm quite calm. I shall conquer. I was determined that my country should not remain the victim of lies and injustice. I may be condemned here. The day will come when France will thank me for having helped to save her honor.